9, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Happy Halloween, and it's a little chilly today. I love that. It's good for Halloween. Trick-or-treating needs to be not too hot, which I will take that. Sheriff Chip Simmons is here in studio with me. Scambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. Why don't we start there, just because it is Halloween, and I want to make sure we don't run out of time to make sure to tell people. It never stops being useful to remind people of the basics when it comes to kid safety and Halloween. You are the expert. What are the basic things you tell parents when they're getting their kids ready, buying costumes, setting up, you know, whatever, anything you want to tell people?
Well, I think that, you know, like you said, there are some basics, and I don't know that I'm the expert in it. It doesn't take a genius to figure out, hey, what is a danger to my children? In anything, whether it's Halloween or whether you're going to an amusement park or anything, and you think, okay, in Halloween, it would be maybe being run over by a car or hit by a car. And so you would want to make sure that your child and you, or whoever's walking with them, first of all, supervised if they're young children, and then that they can be seen. So some sort of reflective costume, a flashlight if you don't have that, and obviously pay good attention to your surroundings. And, you know, pay attention to what houses they go to. You know, I'm not saying that people are trying to poison them like back in the, you know,
right, all the rumors, urban legends, right?
You take your candy to the hospital to get it x-rayed for razor blades and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not sure if that's ever happened, but it's one of those urban myths that might happen. But I would pay attention to what your children are eating, whether it's something you want them to eat or not. It may not be suitable for the age or appropriate or for the age of the child that's actually
we still candy. Always, when they bring back candy to the house, we always look it over just to be sure.
We tell them, do not eat it on the way, right?
Yeah, abundance of caution, never been a problem.
Because there might be stuff that I want.
Yeah, that's right. You got to get a tax out of it. I mean, how are you supposed to be a good parent if you don't get some of your stuff? That's right. But also just the note for drivers. It's, I mean, my advice, you tell me if you think I'm wrong, but my advice to people is, hey, if you can avoid driving around tonight, do it. You know, you don't need to be out tonight. There's a lot of people, you know, with their kids out, and avoid it. Go slow. Every street is a danger. Every street is a school zone tonight.
And, I think, you know, the people that you know, in your house, you can turn on some lights for the mm-hmm. kids that people mm-hmm. can see in the neighborhood. There are people that drive from neighborhood to neighborhood. So they pack up and they go to good neighborhood after good neighborhood.
Right.
I wish I could do that
strategic
when I was younger.
Strategic trick-or-treating.
You know,
that's right.
One neighborhood. We lived on a cul-de-sac. So we had three cul-de-sacs one way and three cul-de-sacs the other way.
Right.
And that was the extent of our Halloween. But our costumes weren't elaborate anyway. So
it's not
like we're showing off.
Right. Another good safety tip is do be sure to scare the kids as best you can.
You know, it's always funny to watch the kids, you know. Funny until you scare that small child that starts running back. Yeah, and trips and hurts
himself. That is kind of part of the experience of hazing that Halloween is. All right, so I just wanted to make sure that we got to. Oh, and just one other quick thing is you guys are doing your canine costume contest?
Yeah, every year we have our canine handlers. They'll dress up their canines and as different things. So we were having a vote over the last several days. I think it's ended now, and if it hasn't already, it should be put out, the winner of the Scambia County Sheriff's Office Canine Costume Contest.
I feel like in the year 2023, I have to ask this question. Do the canines consent?
Yes. Yes, they did.
They did. Okay. Yeah. So signed waivers and paw prints and affidavits you need.
They're all in.
Good.
They're all in. Fact, you just, if they understand candy's involved,
they're definitely in. All right. Let's talk about some of the incidents that have happened this week. We had I guess it was an argument over spilt beer inside of a campsite inside of a tent that wound up involving a hatchet and a head. Do I have that about right?
That's correct. A couple homeless guys drinking beer around there. One of the beers gets spilled. There's some disagreement over who spilt the beer, but one person took it to an extreme and it grabbed a nearby hatchet and hit the other gentleman in the head. And we ended up charging him with the hatcheting.
Was there, attempted murder? What was the level of,
I think at this point the injuries were not severe.
Not bad enough.
It was aggravated battery.
Okay.
And it was not I didn't hover over him and intend to kill him.
Repeatedly or anything like that.
An anger type of a situation.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, scary. Certainly scary.
Well, no one wants to get hit with a hatchet.
Right. Hatcheting, as you described it, is not the goal of anybody when they get together to drink beers. In Century, we had somebody actually killed by gunfire on Sunday morning. What happened here? Or what do we know at this point?
Well, right now the investigation is active, and we're asking if anyone has information to let us know. Our investigators yesterday were combing the area looking for anyone that had video surveillance or anyone that knew anything.
And this was an outside. It's in the street, right?
That's correct. It was found right there on, Century Boulevard. And around 2 o'clock in the morning, a man was deceased, and he had multiple gunshot wounds. That's all we have at this point. At least that's all we can reveal at this time. But again, if anyone has information, please let us know.
Okay, we had a interesting. It's not the only hatcheting that we had this week, although this one was, the other one wasn't against a person, right? This was, or was it? What happened this other case?
No, no. And this one, we had a pace guy, 19-year-old pace man. Looks like he's 14, but he's 19-year-old guy.
I thought that too. I saw the picture and I was like, what is that 12-year-old doing on the
We verified his age. Obviously, we wouldn't put him out there unless we were sure of it. And right. Joseph McGee is in Escambia County Jail. We got him with two counts of burglary of a residence and one of a vehicle. We got a call from a homeowner that said, hey, I think I hear someone, you know, trying to get in my back door. So we get there pretty quickly to the deputy's credit. And when he gets there, he sees this guy, and he's hiding behind the front of a car in the driveway. And so deputies get out, try to catch him, and he takes off running. Not fast enough, obviously. Our deputies catch him hiding in a nearby yard, end up arresting him. And then when we go to the door that the original caller was asking us about, we see that, sure enough, he had stolen a hatchet from another burglary, and then he was trying to pry open the storm door or the outside exterior door of the home.
So in this
home.
Case, the hatchet wasn't a weapon. It was a device.
A burglary tool.
Yeah, okay. It was a lockpick, a screen door pick or something like that.
Yeah,
you say fleeing. I'm looking at the picture, and I'm not sure that he wore the appropriate attire to facilitate the fastest flight.
Yeah, I don't know what he's thinking. Obviously, he shouldn't be a burglar in the first place. And then, you know, obviously to run from deputies. We got him. We got some of the stuff that, the ill-gotten booty that he had in his possession.
Blank business checks, methamphetamines, from a
Christian-type business. And we assumed those were stolen as well. And then he had a couple, a pocket knife and that hatchet that we ended up seizing. And obviously there's a picture on our Facebook page of some of this stuff. Some of it's still tagged for evidence. So you're seeing the same pictures that will be used in trial.
Okay, very good. Let's. You also had a substantial fentanyl arrest. Is that right?
Well, yeah, it was a substantial methamphetamine arrest, but it's also mixed with fentanyl.
Okay.
We made a traffic stop. One of our deputies made a traffic stop. And we ended up arresting a Derek Hardy and a Ariel Perich. Perrich. Those are the names of the people. We charged them with trafficking in methamphetamine because we found 400 grams of methamphetamine, but also found some fentanyl. If you recall, what we're seeing is they're mixing a little bit of fentanyl with a number of different drugs, whether it's marijuana, methamphetamine. Methamphetamine is bad enough as it is. You know, it's causing a lot of problems on its own, but when you mix it with even a small amount of fentanyl, then it becomes even more dangerous and obviously it's become deadly. Someone in one of our meetings was asked about, oftentimes we do find a large amount of this drug, but then a smaller amount of fentanyl. Mm-hmm. And is it fentanyl that bad? And I'm like, yes, fentanyl is terrible. Anyone that would think that doesn't know what I know, doesn't know that, hasn't gone to the scenes of these cases like our deputies have and see all the overdoses that we're seeing.
Well, we've got a story in the news today about somebody who was basically administering Narcan and came in contact with it, and then she had to be Narcan. First responder had to be Narcan in response to the fact that she came in contact with the fentanyl. Right?
Yeah. The more robust our investigations and our efforts are to deal with this fentanyl crisis, then obviously we have to pay attention to that. Our narcotics guys do. Search warrants, they kick doors in, and then they got fentanyl all around. Last year, I think we had one, and it was fentanyl on a counter, and then there was fentanyl white powder. It looked like fentanyl right near where the a baby carriage would be. And it was just, it only takes a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's like you said, first responders, there's a video of a South Florida deputy being overcome by fentanyl during a traffic stop as well. And all of our deputies carry Narcan, and obviously we have it for our canines.
They carry it on their person.
In the car.
Okay.
Yeah. So again, we do that because of just how dangerous the fentanyl is. And again, we've taken this, two prong approach where we're trying to get the upper levels. That's why you're seeing so many large seizures that our men and women at the sheriff's office have been doing. But also a lot of these traffic stops. I've in my almost 40 years in law enforcement never seen the large number of a large amount of drugs that are seized during traffic stops that I've seen over the last year or so at the sheriff's office. It's just
so just odd question that suddenly comes to mind. The canines, you know, are obviously historically that's one of the primary ways in which you identify there's drugs in a car. But I assume the fentanyl is as dangerous to them, they're mammals too, as it would be to us. How is that a problem you run into that the canines wind up getting in contact with the fentanyl? Because even a tiny amount, I would think, that they can alert on could still, I mean, I don't know. You tell me.
It is. It's absolutely a concern for us. And it's what our canine handlers and our, the supervisors in our canine unit deal with during their training. You know, my I don't know exactly how they do it, but I understand that they, you know, if there's an alert, then they'll pull their dog as quickly as they can so that they, the dog doesn't continue to sniff.
So they alert and get them off the car.
Yeah, because, again, we talk about it being with marijuana or with something that might they, might, they might alert to from a distance. They've got pretty good noses on them.
Right.
And so they alert pretty quickly.
The other thing, and you just were talking about meth arrests and how many, mm-hmm. you know, more arrests you're making as a you know, a search incident to a traffic stop.
Right.
Is my understanding that a couple of years ago, the reason we don't hear about, you know, meth labs or car meth, you know, being like explosions and the missing, is that that's basically being manufactured and trafficked in rather than, like from Mexico, rather than being manufactured here. Is that correct?
That's correct. It is so cheap and so abundant mm-hmm. From Mexico and through the border and into our area that there's no need to make it in your sink anymore. And it's just easier and more convenient. I guess our drug dealers are you know, they're taking the easy route as well.
Right.
You know, they're outsourcing
if it's cheaper and safer, weirdly, you know, I mean, it's safer in one sense anyway.
Well, I mean, they're in it to try to make money.
Right.
And you know, and if they take a smaller footprint, they don't have to have a kitchen or a container or something in the garage to make the methamphetamine. They can get that readily. And you again, we talked about it, and I'll mention it again, the larger amounts of methamphetamine that we are seizing. Our deputy's doing a jam-up job.
Last thing I just want to ask you is, do you find on Halloween, and I know we're not quite a full moon, we're a day or two past the full moon, but do you find on Halloween that do criminals try to take advantage of the, you know, hey, it's okay to wear a costume, it's okay to wear a mask? Do you find more problems on Halloween aside from dealing with the kids and the safety and all that kind of stuff?
Not really.
Okay.
No,
just like any other day.
There will be people out partying, and then crimes of opportunity will take place. You
okay.
know, if you got some people that are inclined to be criminals and they're out, you know, a little later at night. But, you know, the trick-or-treatings happen a little early, you know, just as it gets dark.
Sure,
and they should be pretty much clearing up. At least people start turning lights off, right?
Before,
you know, around, I don't know what time, 8-ish
any,
or so.
Any incident you remember historically, like weirdest costume you had to arrest somebody in?
No.
Any superhero fights?
Well, I mean,
there
have
parties,
been costume
maybe.
Parties
yeah, right.
you know, before Halloween
Tuesday,
or the
yeah.
weekend before or something, but nothing that I can really
okay.
think of.
Right.
People have been fairly well behaved.
All right, fair enough. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Sheriff of Escambia County, as always, sir, thanks for the time, keeping us safe, giving us good advice and guidance, man. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.